Again, glad that each one of you are here this morning. I invite you to turn your Bibles, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, I want to direct your attention to verse number 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 7. The apostle writing to the church at Corinth, our Lord speaking to us through his word, he says, "Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, listen, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth." Now, this morning, we've purposed as a church for the membership to observe the Lord's Supper, and we look forward to that time, but in the Lord's Supper, an ordinance given to the Lord's churches to remember our Lord's death, that part of the gospel that our Lord died, that he died for us. As a brother pointed out this morning in the scriptures, that it was according to the scriptures that the Lord died. It was prophesied, determined by God Almighty before eternity and eternity past, that the Lord would give himself a ransom, a savior, a redemption, an atonement for his people. And so our brother writes to this church, he's saying, we need to purge out some things. We need to purge out that leaven. And of course, we understand that the leaven is a type of sin. And as we come to the Lord's Supper, we need to be considering about ourselves. And the thing is we always need to be considering about ourselves, not just at the time that we would observe the Lord's Supper, but always as the children of God, to be purging out the leaven, purging out the sin. He says, purge that out, that we might be a new lump. He's speaking to us as a body, as one of his churches. We are unleavened. We've been saved by our Lord. We have the Spirit of God living within. We have the new man at hand by virtue of the salvation of the Lord and the Spirit of God living within. He says, even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. We're Gentiles. Typically, as far as I know, I'm of no Jewish descent that's of a great part. Now, we're Gentiles, and this church at Corinth is going to be made typically of Gentiles. But this terminology is used, Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. And he has been the sacrifice, the only human sacrifice that ever made a difference, the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, therefore, let us keep the feast. Now, understand this. This observance of the Lord's Supper, its elements are really, they're purposeful. They are a token, but they are meager. You're not going to get filled up by observing this. But the thing is that celebration of that what the Lord has done for us. The Lord Jesus Christ, that's what that word feast points to. We know that what the Lord Jesus Christ did and our sins that put him there was a terrible, terrible thing. The innocent given for the guilty. The mock trial that he endured and all the torment our brother mentioned this morning, the torture and the rejection of his nation, his own people rejecting him, and the contradiction of sinners against himself that the Lord endured. It's terrible. It's the greatest wickedness that has ever been done amongst mankind. And so we know that. But you know what? Praise be to God that the Lord Jesus Christ endured it and did it. And we rejoice in that. Such great love shown for us. And so in that, we rejoice in our Lord being willing to suffer the things that he did, even unto death, and giving himself for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness. And so he makes a charge to us. Put that sin out. Put out that thing of wanting to get back. Put out that thing of wanting to get at another, which is so natural with us. Put out that wickedness. What is sin against the Lord? Put that away. And let us keep the feast with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. The truth of our Lord. The truth of his word. Not being a thing that we feign. Not coming to this table looking for this to do anything for us, salvation-wise, or keeping us saved. But putting it in the right perspective, that this is a representation of what Christ has done for us and our partaking of Him. You know, you need the Lord Jesus Christ more than you need food. You know, mankind, men, women, boys, and girls need Jesus Christ more than they need to eat. Because it's only by Him that we have life. I want to remind us this about the Passover. And if you will, turn back over here to Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12. In the previous chapter, our Lord has it's come to the time that nine plagues have been put upon Egypt. The Lord dealing with Pharaoh and the Egyptians there. The Lord making a great statement about who He is and His power. It says in verse 4 of chapter 11, right across, maybe on the same page in your Bible, and Moses said, Thus saith the Lord, about midnight I will go out into the midst of Egypt. The Lord's going to make a great stand here and a great statement regarding the firstborn. He says that all the firstborn, in verse number 5, of the land of Egypt shall die. He's going to bring a plague upon Egypt that they will not be able to withstand. They will yield up His people and His nation, and they will go out. In chapter 12, the Lord speaks to Moses and Aaron, and He says, this is the beginning. It's the first month. Verse number 3 of chapter 12, speaking to the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take it unto them, to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. If the house is too little, verse number 4, then let them get together and proportion that and order that correctly according to the number of souls and count the lamb that way. Verse number 5, the lamb should be without blemish, a male of the first year, and take it out of the sheepcote, out of the fold there. He said, keep it up until the 14th day, verse number 6, and then kill it. Kill that little, you know, that little lamb's going to be cute. It's young. It's fluffy. It's immature. It's not like the female sheep that bore it, but it's going to be tender. Some of the children would even look to those and shepherds that did their job well would look to those lambs with some compassion and some care for them. And that little lamb, the Lord says, kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood, verse 7, and strike it on the two doorposts and on the upper doorposts of the houses wherein they shall eat it. They shall eat the flesh that night, roast with fire, verse 8, and unleavened bread. With bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, or don't soak it, or not sodden at all in water, but roast it with the fire, all of it together, all of it there, not dressed as you normally would. And you shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, verse number 10. And what's left over, if there is, burn it with fire. Dispose of it. It's not for lunch the next day. And thus shall you eat it. Here's how you're to eat it, with your loins girded, with your shoes on your feet and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. It's His. He's instituted it to do something for you and to show you something. Eat it ready to go, ready to do work, ready to travel. In verse number 12, He says, for I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt. You know, I want to make a note here, and you and I have heard it, and we need to understand this, that it is the Lord that is doing this thing in Egypt. It is the Lord that said He's going to go into Egypt and He's going to smite the firstborn. In this book of Exodus, to this point right here, there is no mention of the angel of the Lord. There's no mention of the death angel of the Lord. And the reason I make a point about that is let us understand that we don't lay in here a subtle thing that sinners be detracted from who is the administer of the judgment of the Lord. Understand, sinners that are unrepentant will not stand before an appointee of the Lord, but that the great white throne judgment, they will stand before the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. There's not the mention of an angel until chapter 14, when the Lord begins to deliver his nation and sends the angel before them and the pillar of fire and the pillar of cloud. Many verses that are here, he says, I will execute judgment. I will pass through. He says in the blood, verse number 13, shall be for you a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And so we need to understand, who is it that deals with us? Who is it that's dealing with them? Who is it that deals with us regarding our souls? It's no angel, but it's the Lord himself. He says here that this blood shall be a token. He says when he sees it, he'll pass over them. He said, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you. When I smite the land of Egypt, again, he declares that he is doing so. He says, and this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it, a feast to the Lord. Remember how the Apostle Paul, writing to Corinth, said, let us keep the feast? Now, we don't observe the Passover. We're not supposed to. The Jews yet are given this thing. Let's read on. It is to be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by ordinance forever. Now, when we see eternal in the scriptures, we see everlasting, we know what that means, don't we? And if a Jew could yet, even though Christ has risen, even though the Passover lamb has been sacrificed by the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm seeing the Jews here should go ahead and observe the Passover, looking toward what Christ has done. I think it says forever. But for you and me, we Gentiles in the Lord's church, we've got something else. You know what? It came out of this. Look over here in Luke chapter 22. Let's take a look here. Jesus is with his disciples. It's coming down to that night of that day before our Lord Jesus Christ is going to give himself. We pick it up here in Luke chapter 22. In verse number 7, Luke 22, verse number 7, then came the day of unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed. And he sent Peter and John, saying, go and prepare us the Passover, that we may eat. And they said unto him, where wilt thou that we prepare? He said, go to the city, look for a man that's bearing a pitcher of water, follow him. When you get to the place that he's going, say, the master saith unto thee, verse 11, where is the guest chamber where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? And he shall show you a large upper room furnished. There make ready. And they went, and it was so what the Lord said, verse 13. And when the time was come there in the evening, he sat down the 12 apostles with him. I just want to put a note here that there were more, I believe, more of the church that was there, but the Lord is there with the apostles. He's there with the leadership that's going to take over the leadership in the church, as we've seen recently in our study about the ministers of the Lord. There are others that are there, but the Lord has the apostles nearest because they need to get this that they may continue on with it, all right, in the church. And so he has appointed them for there, and so they are very near. And he said unto them, with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. He says, fellas, this is the last one looking forward to what I'm going to do. It's the last one. It's going to be answered in me tomorrow. And he is with great desire, has desired to eat the Passover with them. For I say unto you, verse 16, I will not any more eat thereof till it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Did he say that about the Passover? He said, I won't eat of this anymore. He said, I've desired to eat the Passover with you, and I'm not going to eat of it anymore till it be fulfilled in my Father's kingdom. Those are interesting words, isn't it? And then it says this, and he took the cup. We don't see any cup that's mentioned back there in Exodus in the origination of the Passover, but the Passover had been changed, if we understand things. There had been more added to that. The Jews had added ceremony to it. I think Brother Mark brought a study out about how the Jews observe the Passover now. things that they do and things that have been added and things that are taken away. There's no cup that is mentioned in that first Passover, but you know what? What had come in the custom of the nation and the custom of the people, the Lord took and he used it now for this. He took the cup of wine, and he gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it amongst yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of this fruit, not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come." And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave it to them saying, "This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And that's the purpose, is to remember him, to remember what he did for us. Now, we don't have a visual of how it all looked and what all the way that it truly was, what Jesus looked like and how the cross was and those soldiers that were there and the Sanhedrin and Caiaphas and Annas and all those Jewish leaders that lied against the Lord. And we don't know what the false witnesses that couldn't agree, what they looked like. We don't know about how the topography was there in that place. But you know what? By faith, we know the Lord did it. And through the scriptures, we see our Lord having done those things for us. We don't know the actual, but we know that it's real. We know that he did so for us. And that's by that by which our brother mentioned this morning that we're saved. He says, "I give you this bread. This is my body." This is, as we read over there, the Passover was a token, was a memorial. And so is this unleavened bread that our Lord took from the Passover to institute the Lord's Supper. He says, "Take it, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." He gave it to them to eat. Verse number 20. "Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you.'" His blood he shed for me. If you're here and saved, you know and believe that he shed his blood for you. That somehow the Lord in his power and his greatness was able to take that blood that was shed some 2,000 years ago and bring it right down here to the time that the Lord saved you. How can God do that? He can, and he has. And we trust in him for it. And he says, "But behold, the hand of him that betrayeth me is with me on the table." Very interesting. And so it goes on there that they begin to inquire amongst themselves who it would be. To round out the picture in the scriptures, I want you to turn over here to Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14. Brother Mark writes his account of the Lord instituting the Lord's Supper from those things that are there with the Passover. Pick it up here in verse number 12. And it says here in Mark 14, verse number 12, "And the first day of unleavened bread, when they killed the Passover, his disciple saith unto him, 'Where do we prepare the Passover?' He sent forth two," as we read. They followed his instructions. They followed the man. They said to the master, and the fellow showed them that upper room, and they made ready there. And in the evening, verse number 17 of Mark 14, he cometh with the 12. "And as they sat and did eat, Jesus said, 'Verily I say unto you, one of you which eateth with me shall betray me.' They began to be sorrowful." They said, each one of them said, "It is me." None of them suspicioned Judas in any wise. "And he answered and said unto them, 'It's one of the 12 that dippeth with me in the dish.'" So he makes a distinction there about the 12, not the others. And he says here again about the scriptures, "The Son of Man indeed goeth," verse 21, "as is written of him, but woe unto that one that betrays him. It'd be better if that man had not been born." And as they did eat the Passover, Jesus took bread and blessed and brake it and gave it to them and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Not literally his body, because he's sitting there with them. There are those that hold to the doctrine of transubstantiation, and that it changes, the bread changes. This bread and this wine is not going to change into anything other than it is. But the unleavened bread is representative of our sinless Lord. And the wine is representative of his most powerful blood that has washed us from our sins. It's a token. It's a representation. It's not the same as him, but it's something given to us that we take into our bodies to signify that of how we've partaken of Christ. Again, we need him worse than we need food. Because in him is life. What is it the Old Testament scriptures say? Man doesn't live by bread alone. But man lives by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. It's by his word that man lives. In John chapter 6, the Lord shows us about that and tells us about that. And so he gives this to them, and he says, "Take, eat, this is my body," representative of such. And he took the cup, verse 23, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said unto them, "This is my blood of the New Testament." Not the wine didn't turn into his blood. His blood is still flowing through his body. But it's representative of his blood that was shed. See, without the Lord Jesus Christ's blood, I have no help or hope. You have no help or hope. But his blood was shed. Again, the Lord Jesus Christ, the only human sacrifice that ever made a difference. All of my blood couldn't touch one of my sins, much less the rest, much less yours. But the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the scripture makes very clear, washes us white as snow. He said, "This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many. Verily I say unto you, I will drink no more of the fruit of the vine until that day that I drink it new in the kingdom of God." So he's waiting on us. It says here in verse 26, "And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives." So back in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, we maybe by taking this short review, we can understand that from the Passover and the observance of such, that the Lord took from those elements that were there and he instituted the supper that is given to us. No saving power, no redeeming power, no ability to keep us saved, but a memorial to remember our Lord having died for us. I needed the sacrifice of his body for this sinner to be saved. And you that are saved, you testify to the same. I needed the shedding of his blood for this sinner to be saved. You that are saved, you testify to the same. You know, Baptists have been accused of an obscene, bloody religion. The Lord says, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. And our Lord Jesus Christ has done that for us. He says, "Purge out therefore the old leaven," 1 Corinthians 5:7, "that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us." We're not observing the Passover. But in Christ, he is our Passover for us. When the Lord sees his blood applied to us, he passes over us. We're not condemned. There's no condemnation to those that are in Christ. When he sees the blood of our Lord and Savior, he passes over us. His body broken and offered for our sins. Indeed, Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast. Not the Passover feast, but this memorial that we have. Not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness. You know what? He's not talking about the elements, is he? He's talking about you and me. He's talking about the condition of our hearts. He's talking about this introspection of self and this going to the Lord with our faults and our failures, going to our Lord with the help that we need from him. I need my Lord and I need his power to be able to live for him. You know what? If I follow after me, it's just a big mess. It's just a mess and sinful in a wicked way that I get from this old man, Jim Duke. But with the power of the Lord, you know what? Malice can be put away, and wickedness can be put away. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread, with the unsinful, with those old things put away, the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Do you love your Lord? Indeed, we love Him. We love Him because He's first loved us. And we need to love Him. Our Lord says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And in that, in His commandments, in His word, is found that truth. And you know what our brother brought forth this morning about the gospel, there are many things that are believed, many things that are supposed amongst men. But just because mankind, just because you and I suppose things, doesn't mean it's so. What we all need is the standard of God and the truth of what God has said in His word. He says here, He says, let us keep the feast, not with sin, but with the truth of God's word and the sincerity of our following the Lord. You know what? He doesn't talk anything about ceremony. Now, we'll have an order to the observance there needs to be. You know what? We need to partake of it together. We are given a directive by our Lord that it's only for the members of Olmsted Baptist Church. And if you're not a member of Olmsted Baptist Church, we're not looking to offend anyone in any way. Brother Cecil and Sister Mary are members of Independence Baptist Church. My father-in-law and mother-in-law, love them dearly. But they're not members of this church. They won't participate with us. They'll observe us take part in it. That's the way the Lord, it's given for the Lord's local body to observe and to remember His death till He comes. So in this spirit, this thought of introspection, we always take a look over here at 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And again, our the apostle writes to this Gentile, namely Gentile church. They've got some disorder among them. They've got some misunderstanding evidently among them. And as it is with the gospel, as our brother mentioned this morning, he says in verse 23 of 1 Corinthians 11, he says, I've received of the Lord what I gave to you. And that's what it is. We didn't invent this. We've been given this to follow. We've been given this of our Lord. You saw it there where the Lord instituted it some 2,000 years ago. We follow Him in it. Who was there in that upper room? All of Israel? All of the Romans? No, the Lord's church. The Lord's church was there. His apostles, the leadership that He was preparing to lead after His physical departure. He said, I've given unto you that which I received, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, verse number 23, in 1 Corinthians 11, took bread, and when He had given thanks, He brake it, and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. At the same manner, He took the cup, and when He had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, as we read, this do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. He said, for as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till He come. And that's interesting in the ordinances. Here in this ordinance, we see the death of our Lord. And then in the ordinance of baptism, again, which holds no saving grace, no saving merit, it's again a token, a showing. We see the burial of our Lord and His resurrection. The gospel and the two ordinances our Lord has given. What a blessing that is to know that and to see that. He says, as often as you do this, you show my death. You tell it and declare it in the midst of the church. You remember. And then he goes down through here in verse 27. He says, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink of this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. We don't want to be guilty. We're thankful that the Lord has done these things for us, but we don't want to misunderstand what this is about. Let's read on. He says, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. So we have personal introspection. We need personal looking at our lives. We have sin in our lives that we need to confess before our Lord, sin that we need to turn away from. We need to be considering ourselves. He says, do so, examine yourself, and come on and partake. The scripture is never one of stay away from the Lord's Supper, but the scripture and the Lord tells us, come and partake of it. Get yourself right and come and partake of it. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself. Here's the key, not discerning the Lord's body. See, if you observe this to keep yourself saved, you're totally not discerning what Christ did in his flesh and his body for you. Mm-hmm. This is not Christ. This represents Christ. If you look to take this to save you or to keep you saved or to accomplish something on a checklist, we are obedient to the Lord, and when we are obedient to the Lord, we are pleasing to him. But there are many and many religions that take this and make something more out of it than it is. There are those that take this and make less out of it than it is. We understand that the Lord has given this to us to represent his body and to represent his blood, that we might remember his death for us. No more, no less. So don't have a lack of discerning about the Lord's body. His body was given for us. This is not his body. This represents his body. This is not his blood, but it represents his shed blood for us. He says, for this lack of discernment about the Lord's body, and in that, observing the Lord's Supper in a shoddy way, as a meal, earlier in the chapter it talks about that, or having a lack of discernment about the Lord's body, and that there's saving merit that's believed in this. He said, for this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Even in this church, among his own children, the Lord has caused or allowed some to be sick, to become weak, or even to die. It's serious business. And we can do it well, and we can do it right with our Lord's help and blessing. And we are in to introspect and to put sin out of our lives. He says here, verse 31, for if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. You know who's the best one to take care of you? You. You know the best one to take care of me is me. He said, for if we would be judged ourselves, we should not be judged by others. But when we are judged, speaking in this context in the church, we are chastened of the Lord that we should not be condemned with the world. Our Lord has set us apart. He sanctified us. And he deals with us as children. And if I get out of the way and I get out of the way long enough, unrepentant and willful against my Lord, I can expect him to come whipping on me, as he's mentioned here that he did. It can be that in regards to public sin, the church would have to take action, and that's grievous. We don't want that to be, but sometimes it has to be. He says, wherefore, my brethren, when you come together, verse 33, to eat, tarry one for another. Be here together. Be here together. Not everyone going by the table and observing it on their own time frame, but together. Because you know what? We are one body in Christ, right here at Olmsted Baptist Church. He said, if any man hunger, which was the issue that they had there, let him eat at home. So I trust that you have been considering about yourself, those of membership of the church, and going to the Lord about the sin in your life. If you have anything that you need to deal with before the Lord, that you've done so, repented of that, ask the Lord to help you with it, and then moved on from it. And then in 1 Corinthians 5, where we started this morning, we see here that a church needs to look at itself also. We individually need to introspect. We need to consider ourselves, examine ourselves. And then a church collectively needs to examine themselves. It says here that in this particular case, this church was puffed up in verse number 2. There was sin that was there public, and they had not dealt with it. They had not dealt with that member that was doing and involved with that public sin. He says here that in verse number 2 that this one that's involved in public sin should be taken away. He says in verse number 5 that one should be delivered unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. That's what the Lord tells us. This is not our own invention. He said they're glorying in this brother in the church being involved with a sin that's not even mentioned amongst the Gentiles. He said this glorying is not good, and this leaven is leavening the whole church. Verse 7, he says, purge it out. He says, don't keep the feast with the old leaven. He said in verse number 9, I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators. That's the particular case that he's their context. Yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters, for then must you needs go out of the world. He said, I know you're going to run into folks in the world that are going to be that way. But he says, I'm talking about the church. You have fornicators in the church, extortioners in the church, covetous in the church, idolaters in the church. But now I've written unto you not to keep company. If any man that is called a brother, verse 11, be a fornicator or a covetous or an idolater or a railer or a drunkard or an extortioner, he says, with such a one, no, not to eat. Don't keep the Lord's Supper in that way. They need to be dealt with by the church. Otherwise, the condemnation of the Lord can come down on the church. For what have I to do to judge them also that are without? He said, our purview is not outside the church. We don't judge and take care of men outside the church. Do not ye judge them that are within? But them that are without, God judgeth. Therefore, put away from among yourselves that wicked person. So when we observe the Lord's Supper, I always ask, brethren, do we know of any public sin that we've not dealt with as a church? Is there anything that is known that we've let pass or let slip that we shouldn't have?